Today's daf is Kuf Lamed Vav, and yesterday we mentioned that there's something called Kolulo Chadoshev, Lo Kolulo Chadoshev, which means that the baby was born in the eighth month, and in that case, we don't know that the baby is going to survive. And the Gemara says on the top here of Kuf Lamed Vav, as we saw yesterday, that we can circumcise this baby mimonafshach, no matter how you slice the cake, pardon the pun here. But if the baby is lo kolulo chadoshav, which means it's an eighth-month-old baby, then the Gemara calls that machatech basar bi'alma, meaning that we don't consider it as a netilas neshama because unfortunately the baby is considered mess. It's considered already, it's not a viable being. If on the other hand, kolulo chadoshav, then it's the eighth day of its birth and therefore it's docha Shabbos. The Gemara asks the following question, v'elaha disanya, you'll see this four lines down from the top of the Amud, Safek ben Shiva, Safek ben Shmona, ein mechalim olav es ha-Shabbos. Now, this doesn't make any sense, because if we're in doubt whether the baby is viable or not, is it a seventh-month baby or an eighth, then as we said before, mimonafshach, whichever way you go, you're allowed to circumcise the baby. So why does the Braisa prohibit circumcising such a baby that's a Safek ben Shiva, Safek ben Shmona? Amai nimhale, we should circumcise the baby mimonafshach. Im chayhu, if the baby is a seventh-month-old baby, it's a preemie, that'll survive. Shaper kamoil, then we're circumcising it on the right time, and it overrides the Shabbos, it's the eighth day of its birth. V'yilav, and if on the other hand it's an eighth-month-old baby, then mechatech basar bi'alma basahu, it's not a violation of entilas neshama, and therefore, either way it should be mutamara. Omar mar breid ravina, anov rav nechumi bar zacharia. These two great amoraim, Targumina, they interpreted this braisa in the following way. Mimhil hachinami ma'alinanle. The braisa never doubted that we will circumcise this Safek ben Shiva, Safek ben Shmona. V'lo nitzrucho, what did the braisa mean when it says that we don't override the Shabbos? El l'machshirei mila v'alibad Rabbi Eliezer. In the case of machshirei mila, what we're doing is we're preparing the knife, or we're carrying the knife through Rosh Hasharabim. These are all preliminary stages, which under normal circumstances, in an eighth-day-old baby, if the baby is viable, it's a seventh-month or nine-month-old baby, then Rabbi Eliezer would allow it. But in this case, where you don't know if it's a ben shmona, so what are you going to tell me? Well, it's machatech basar, even on the tzad that it's a ben shmona, you're not violating the tilis neshama, but nevertheless, you violated all those malachas that were preliminary to Mila, and that, insofar as the baby is a ben shmona on that side, we don't have the ability to override the Shabbos. So when the Braisa says that Ein Mechalam Asa Shabbos, it's referring to Machshirei Mila, and it reflects the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Om Rabbi Kitanoi. Rabbi claims that there's a machlokes tanoim with regard to this baby that was born premature. And Abai quotes a braisa, and the braisa is discussing a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph, and this is the pasuk of what's called Tumas Nevela. So let's just mention, as background information, that there are two dimensions to nevela. Nevela is an animal that requires shechita for two reasons, as we'll soon see. And if the animal died without shechita, that the corpse, the dead body of the animal, is called a nevela. And there are two dinim that are generated and applied to the status of a nevela. Number one, it's asur b'achila. This is a case in which the Torah says lo sochu kol nevela. We're enjoined from eating nevela. Every kezias of nevela is a violation of a lav and a chiyuv malchus. There's another din of nevela, And that's called V'chiyomus min ha-behema asher hi lachem li'ochel ha-nogea b'nivlasa yitma. That's called tumas nevela. And nevela, without shechita, the animal died, its body generates tuma through maga, or even through masa, if you're carrying the nevela without touching it. And shechita now serves a double function. On the one hand, shechita is mate the basar, it removes the isa nevela. And on the other hand, shechita is metayres ha-basar b'day tumas nevela. And this braisa is going to quote a machlokes tanoim with regard to shechita in the case of an animal that is newborn and it is less than 8 days old. Now what that means, that in the case of an animal, it's only after it reaches its eighth day, then we know that it's a viable animal. Before that, it's an assumption on our part that it's what's called a nafel. Nafel means it's going to die. And if it's going to die, it's a trefa, cannot be shechted. According to the Tanakhama of this Braisa, the extra word li'achla could have said v'chiyomis min ha-behema asher hi lachem hanogeh b'nivlasa yitma. What is the additional word li'achla, which seems to be superfluous? And it's coming as a ribui, as an inclusion, lahavi ben shmona, which means that the offspring of an animal, after it reaches its eighth day, then we assume that it is a viable being. It's not nevela. But if it's less than eight, then ein shchitaso metaraso. Then the shchita is not viable as far as removing tumas nevela is concerned, because we assume that this vlad of a behemoth, this offspring, is dino kimes. It's a nafel. It's not going to survive. Now, I mentioned to you before that we are talking about an animal after the eighth day. And to determine whether the animal is viable and it will survive depends upon the eighth day. However, Rashi here in this sugya tells me that I'm wrong, and that what we're talking about here is what's called Shmona Chodshei Ibur. And what we're vacillating about is whether or not this animal was born not, or was shechted not after the eighth day of since its birth, but whether or not there were 8 months of pregnancy. That's called Vlad Li'achar Shmona Chodshei Ibur. 8 Chodshim. Chodshim is months. Not the way I said it was days. But either way, the bottom line is that the Tanakhama, this Braisa, maintains that since this animal has a din of a mess, therefore the Shechita is ineffective to remove Tumas Nevela. When the animal is shechted, any contact with it, the corpse of the animal will incur Tumah. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, according to this opinion, Shechitoso Mitaroso, the Shechita is effective to remove Tumas Nevela. So the Gemara says, "My lava haka miflugi." Shouldn't we assume that this is the issue at stake? De Marsov, according to the second opinion, that of Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon, is Chayhu. This animal, even if it's born after Shmona Chodshei Ibur, is a viable being, and that's why the Shechita is meaningful. Umar Sover, but the Tanakhama is of the opinion, Mesu, that the Shechita cannot be Metayer the Nevela because the animal is considered already dead. And 8 months is not enough. Omar Rav, Rav rejects this. Ihachi, if you're telling me that the machlokas here in this brisa is about the fundamental question about whether or not a ben shmona is considered alive or dead, ad mifligi, why should the brisa quote this machlokas as a machlokas lenyan tuma v'tara as to whether or not the shechita has the validity to be metayer midei nevela? That's a more sophisticated issue. Liflog, first they should argue in the brisa about a more fundamental issue, and that is linyan achila. Does this shechita remove the iser achilas nevela? And the Tanu says that once the animal is considered a ben shmona, it has the status of a chai, it's a live, viable being. He will hold that you can eat the meat of this animal after shechita. The Tanu says that a ben shmona is considered like a mess, then the shechita could not be matir, and therefore it's osur b'achila. So therefore, Rava says we cannot interpret that this machlokas recorded in the Braisa revolves around the issue of whether a ben ches is considered a viable being or not, because then the machlokas should have focused on achila, whether the shechita is matir this achila of nevela. Ela, but rather kuli alma, everybody holds that ben shmona mesu, and therefore it's also b'achila. And the machlokas here is focused entirely, exclusively on tumas nevela. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Savri, they're of the opinion that this din, that a ben shmona is considered like a trefa, is just like trefa, lav afagav de mesahi, that trefa, even though it's not able to live, it's not viable, and it's considered like a mesa, is nevertheless shchitasa metarasa. The shchita is meaningful and effective. As far as what? Vis-a-vis tumas nevela, to remove that tumah. Hachinami, here too, in the case of a ben shmona shenishchat, is loshna. We're not going to say that the din of trefa is going to remove the viability of the shechita to be metayret midei nevela. So to summarize, the first shita here quoted in the Gemara, which is actually the second shita sequentially in the Braisa, is of the opinion that the status of a ben ches is identical with that of a trefa. A trefa is an animal that was born healthy, but we find that sometime during the course of its life, it had an internal injury and it will die. And even though the shechita will not be effective to be matir the basar b'achila, but nevertheless the shechita will certainly remove the taras, the tumas nevela. And so too here, in the case of Ben Ches, according to this particular opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Elazar, they hold that the shechita of a Ben Ches is identical in status with the shechita of a trefa, and although it cannot be matir the basar, it does have the ability to be matir midei nevela. And the Tanakama holds, Rabbanon, lo domi l'trefa. We should differentiate fundamentally between a trefa and a ben ches. Why? Trefa hoisa lo shasa kosher. Now this is a very important principle all over shas, that we differentiate between something that was never mutter and lo hoisa lo shasa kosher, was never kosher from its inception, but we have something called hoisa lo shasa kosher. This trefa, when it was born, was not a trefa, and it was mutar b'achila. And therefore, its status is less severe, if you will, in terms of the criterion of isur, than that of an animal that never had a heter, never had a shasa kosher. It was born after the eighth month. And in the case of trefa, hoisel hashasa kosher, is therefore the shechita is going to be meaningful. Because before it became a trefa, the shechita was meaningful. and even after it became a trefa, the shechita is meaningful at least part way, a halfway measure, to remove the iser tumas nevela. Hi, but in the case of a ben shmona, lo haisol ashasa kosher, it never in its lifetime lent itself to shechita, and as soon as it was born prematurely, there was no possibility of shechting it, and therefore it's not similar to the case of trefa. That's the shita of the Rabbanah. V'chi tema, now the Rabbanah asked themselves a question, is trefa mi beta and ma'ik lememer? There's another category of trefa, which is a trefa that had an injury, or shall we say, some sort of imperfection in one of its organs from the time it was born. That's called the trefa mi beta. And the halacha is, nobody denies this, that the shechita is metar midei nevela. Michael Memer, what are you going to say here? It didn't have a shasa kosher. So the Gemara says, "Hasam yesh b'mina shchita." This animal belongs to a species which lends itself to shchita. But hacha, here in the case of an animal that was born after eight months, it's a preemie, is ein b'mina shchita. Any animal that fits into that category of nola b'shmini is excluded from Shechita. And if it's excluded from Shechita, it's excluded from Shechita not only as far as removing the Iser Achila is concerned, but even as far as being Metayer Midei Nevel. So that's what we have here so far. Let me just look here for 1 second, if you don't mind. I just want to I want to see one thing here. Again. Okay, right now, not seeing it. Okay. Ibailahu. The Gemara raises the following suffix. And we're going back now to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Let's just review what we learned yesterday. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, that in a case of an animal that was born, and we're not sure whether the animal is a viable being or not, we always have to be choshesh that maybe the animal is a nefel. Iboilahu mi pligi rabbanan aleid Rav Shimon Gamliel olo. The Bryce only records one opinion, that of Rav Shimon Gamliel. We have to be choshesh, we have to be worried about the case of the possibility of a nefa. Do the Rabbanah disagree? The Imtim Tzolom Pligi, and if you'll assume that they argue, the Rabbanah, they reject Rav Shimon Gamliel, and they want to rely on Rove, that in nature most animals are healthy animals, is halacha kemoso, ain't halacha kemoso. Who do we paskin like? Oshma, we're going to quote a brisa and try to prove that in fact there is a machlokas. Egel shenolad biyantif, a calf was born on yantif, and on yantif of course we'll add a shechtin animal, is shochtin also biyantif. Now wait a second, it means that on the very day it's born we can shecht it, and the brisa doesn't qualify. Now according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, how can we shecht this animal and call it ochel nefesh? We have to prohibit the animal because we haven't yet proven and established that the animal is a viable being. Rashi raises another question here. Would the animal be mukta if you cannot shecht it? So he says that as far as shechita is concerned, this animal lent itself to shechita because while it was a fetus, had you shechted the animal, the mother animal, then that shechita would be effective even as far as the vlad is concerned. So this is not a mukta issue. The issue is that once the fetus is born, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, how can we shecht the animal when we have a suffix? Maybe it's a nefel. But according to the Rabbanan, apparently, we can shecht it, and we assume it's not a nefel. So Gemara answers, and this answer that we're going to see now repeats itself more than once. Hacha v'maya askin, and the Bryce is talking about a case of the kimle bigavayu shekolulo chadoshav, that the shochet knows that for sure this animal reached its full maturity, its full development, meaning it was not a premature birth. And even the Rabbanon, and for that matter I should say even Rav Shimon Gamliel, would agree that if I'm privy to the information that since the breeding period we know that a full 9 months have passed by, then you're allowed to shecht the animal in Yontif, and you can certainly assume that it's healthy. Rav Shimon Gamliel is always worried about the fact that maybe the animal was born premature, but here we have knowledge that it was not born premature, but it came to full term. Tashma, another case of a brisa, and the brisa mentions a machlokes between Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about Yontif, and the question is about a Bechar. Now, the Torah commands us, in the case of a firstborn, that we have to bring it as a korban on the Mizbeach, but that's only if the animal is a tamim, meaning it's not a bal mum. And the question is, are we allowed to check the animal on Yontif to make sure and guarantee whether it has a mum or it doesn't have a mum? And Veshavin, the Braisa, tells us that everybody agrees, She'im nolad hu umumo imo. Everybody agrees that if Beis Din saw that this animal was born with a mum, they can double check it to make sure that it's what's called a mum kavua, a permanent blemish. If it's a permanent blemish, then it no longer has kedushas bechar lemizbeach, and instead it's considered chulin. It's a regular animal, it's not consecrated, and you're allowed to shecht it and eat it. And shezemin amuchan, in other words, immediately with its birth, a young animal is muchan lachila. It's already prepared for achila. And that implies that it was never also bachila. And if it never was also bachila, then when the dayan determines that you're allowed to shecht this animal and eat it, then he's not really being matir something that was asur, and that's why it's allowed on Yontif. But everyone agrees that if the animal is born with a mum, then we're allowed to shecht it and eat it on Yontif. Well, wait a second. What about Rav Shimon Gamliel? After all, he holds that we always have to worry that the animal might be a nefel, therefore we cannot shecht it on Yontif. It must be that this brisa reflects a sheet against Rav Shimon Gamliel, namely the Rabbanon, and they maintain that every animal is b'cheskas she'ena treifa, she'kol lo chadosho. And Gemara answers the same answer. Hachinami, we're going to give you the same explanation of this brisa as we gave to the earlier brisa, and that is kolu lo she'kol lo chadosho, that we knew and we have information to confirm that this particular bechar was born after full term, and therefore Rav Shimon Gamliel would agree that you're allowed to eat it, and it's not a suffolk of a nefel. Toshma diom Rav Yehuda Meshmuel halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel halacha mechlal de pligi shmamina. From the statement of Rav Yehuda Meshmuel, we're going to derive two conclusions. Number one, since he paskin like Rav Shimon, it means that the Chacham disagreed with Rav Shimon, and according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, a Vlad that's born, we don't know whether or not it's Kolu Chadoshev, whether it's Yotze Michal Nefel, we have to always be Choshish, maybe it's a Nefel. So we see that Michal de Plie, there must be a Shita the Rabbanon that disagree, they're not worried about a Nefel. And Shmami, no, we derive from this that we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, Lechumra, and we have to worry about the possibility that the animal is a Nefel. Okay. Now, at this point, the Gemara is going to take this machlokas that we've just established between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim and apply it to a human fetus, a human baby that's born. Now, by way of introduction, if a human baby is born and then Nebuchadnezzar dies, then there are two possibilities. It may have died from natural causes, as far as we can tell. No, it's the baby never just died. I guess maybe you'd call it crib death, if you want. Or that some tragedy took place, some catastrophe, and as a result, the baby died. Now, in the case where the baby dies subsequent to its birth, believe it or not, I mean, this may sound strange to your ears, it's very halachically very, very important to know whether or not that baby at the moment it was born was a viable being. Or was it a nephel? And it'll be a tremendous nafkamina as far as Yibum is concerned. Because let's say the baby was born on day one, and the father died on day two, and the baby died on day three. Now, since the baby was alive at the time that the father died, there's no Yibum. But if we're going to say that the fact that it died on Tuesday reveals that it was already a nephel, it was not a viable being on Sunday when it was born, then this father who died left absolutely no zera, and therefore his wife, if he has a brother, will fall for Yibum. There may be other nafkaminas that we could discuss, but that's one that I want you to keep in mind. We'll go over this again if you didn't follow. Omar Abaye, Nafal min agag o acholo ari. A terrible catastrophe happened, and the baby took a fall, tragically died, or it was attacked by an animal. And this was immediately after its birth. Is divrei hakol, Abaye holds, and everybody would agree in this case, chayehu. We don't have any reason to believe that this baby was a nephel. It was born a natural birth. Everything was fine. A tragedy took place. And the baby died. Which would mean that if the father of this baby died shortly after its birth, then since the baby is considered a viable baby, then mother of the baby, who's now the widow, doesn't fall for Yibum. And we're assuming now, Chayehu, says Abaye, that a woman gives birth, and she doesn't give birth to a stillborn, it's not a miscarriage. Everything indicates that the baby was fine. And once the baby is fine at that moment of birth, then there's no Yibum. There's no din of chalitza or yibum, there's no zika, because the father was the proud father of a viable being. If the father dies, and then the child dies later, there's no yibum, there's no chalitza. However, says Abaye, there is a machlokas between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Chacham in the following scenario. Ki pligi, when they argue, shepiek. In other words, shortly after its birth, the animal died in what seems to be a very strange death, meaning it wasn't some sort of tragedy that happened. The baby took a deep gasp and expired. It would seem that if the baby died in that case, Marsov, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, he's going to maintain Chayhu. The baby was alive before it died, and now something happened. We have no clue what happened that the baby died, and that's going to be, according to the Tanakhama, meaning the Rabbanan who disagree, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Umar Sava, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, Mesu, that we have to assume that this baby was a nephel from its birth, because we have no explanation or cause of death that would be external to the baby's internal being non-healthy internally. L'may nafkamina liftar min ayibum. So what it means is that according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, since the baby's assumed in the case of Piek to have been a nephel, and there was something unfortunately, tragically wrong with the fetus, even in its embryonic stage, is therefore the widow would now fall for Yibum. She'll need chalitza. Whereas the Tanakhama holds that we have every reason to assume that the baby was a viable being, it had a normal birth, and full term, it was a 9-month-old baby, and therefore, the baby will patter up from Yibum, meaning there was a child that was born. So the Gemara now has a kasha on Abaye. How could you tell me, asks the Gemara, that nafal min agago acholo ari divrei akol chayu, that if the baby, tragically died through some terrible catastrophe, that everybody agrees that that baby was a viable baby, and therefore it patters up the mother from chalitza v'ha rav papa rav huna brei rav yeshua iklu lebei brei de rabbi idi bar oven. So papa rav yeshua came to the son of rav idi, and ovidlu igla tilsa b'yamama d'shiva, and they prepared a meal from a what they assumed was a healthy calf, and they shechted that calf on the 7th day of its birth. The Amri Le and Rav Papa and Rav Huna, when they were served this Igla Tilsa, they said, if you would wait till tomorrow, meaning till tonight, which is halachically considered tomorrow, and that would be the 8th day since its birth, we would certainly eat it. But hashta, now you shechted on the 7th day of its birth, lo achlina mineh. We're not going to eat from it, because we already passed in halacha like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and we have to assume when an animal is born that maybe it's a nafel, and it's not a viable being. And from this story, we see clearly that according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we have to worry about a nafel, not only in a case of piyek v'mes, where it just expired, but even in a case where... No, I'm sorry. This is a case of piyek v'mes, correct? Because what happened was they shechted the animal. There was no reason for us to suspect that the animal was a nafel. And Abai says that if there's no reason to suspect that the animal was a nafel, then even Rav Shimon Gamliel would agree that we could rely on the fact that most yoldos, most fetuses, feti when they're born, are healthy and viable. Ella, says the Gemara, we have to say the exact opposite. The Gemara is now rewriting the script of Abaye in the opposite way. Kishepiek v'mes, divrei akol mesu. What Abaye wanted to say is the following, that if the baby just dies without any cause of death, then we have to assume it was never a viable being from the get-go. Ki pligi, the machlokes between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanan is going to apply in the case of nafal min agag, v'acholo ari, if some tragedy took place which was not foreseen. Mar, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, savar, he holds that since this tragedy took place very shortly after its birth, is mesu. We have to worry about the fact that it's not a viable being. And here Rashi adds another point. Rashi says, and I think we discussed this yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, about Pidgin HaBen. Oh, no. Maybe we didn't get to Pidgin HaBen yet. But in Pidgin HaBen, the Torah says, wait till the 30th day. It's only after 30 days that the child leaves the status of a nafel, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Umar Sarva, Tanakama holds, Chayu, that if the baby had some sort of tragic event that brought its death about, that doesn't mean that it wasn't a viable baby, a viable being. And the Gemara now tells a story about this. Brei deravdimi bar Yosef isyalde lahu yenika and begot talsin yom ashachiv. So the son of Ravdimi never had a baby that died within 30 days of its birth. Yosef akamis abeli luye, and he was sitting shiva. He was mourning over the loss of his baby. Omalei Avua, and Rav Dimi, his father, said to him, Tzironisa Kabois Lemechal? Do you want to eat from the special foods that we bring the mourners? Meaning, are you just interested in an extra meal over here? It's called the Suda Savra. There's no reason for Avelus. This baby died within 30 days of its birth, and we don't assume it's a viable being. It's a Nefel. And that's because we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Amalei, so said, his son said to him, Kimle Bey Shekol Bolo Chadasha. The reason why Rav Shimon Gamliel assumes that the baby's a Nefel if it doesn't survive the first 30 days is because maybe, and now that the baby died, we assume that it was born after 8 months. I happen to know, I know exactly when my wife went to mikvah, etc., and I know that this baby was carried to full term. And it was a 9-month-old baby. And therefore, even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel in this case, the baby is a viable being, and therefore I'm chayav in avelus. Rav Ashi, a similar story. Ikla bey Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi came to the house of Rav Kahana, Isra bey Milsa. And Nebuchadnezzar, there was a tragedy, and a baby of Rav Kahana died. Bego talsin yomi, within 30 days of its birth. Chazi Ravashi saw Rav Kahana di Yosef v'komas Abolei, that he was sitting shiva. Amolei lo sovolei mar lo ha di Omer Rav Yehuda Meshmua alochik Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if the baby didn't survive the first 30 days, then we assume that it was a nefa, and we don't sit shiva for a nefa. Amolei kimli begavei shekolei chadosh. Again, the same answer that Rav Kahana said. I know that this baby came to full term, and it was a viable being, and even Rav Shimon Gamliel would assume it's not an Eifel, and therefore I'm chayv in Avelus. Itmar, we learned in the Beis Medrash, a woman whose husband died, and he left behind a child, and mes betok shloshim, but the child died within the 30-day period since its birth. Then what happened? The Umda, even though she had a brother-in-law, she got up, Viniskacha, and she accepted Kiddushin from another person. Because she assumed that this baby was a viable baby, even though it died within 30 days. And therefore, it patters up her Nefila Yibum. She's not in the parish of Yibum because her husband, her late husband, left Zera. Zera Shal Kayoma. Omer Avina Mishmei de Rova. Here we turn to Kufla Midvavim and Beis. Imeshis Yisrael, he. If the person who married her now is a Yisrael, he's not a Kohen, then Choletzes. Then one of the various brothers, the surviving brothers of the deceased, of her first husband, will give her Chalitza. And then her marriage situation is fine. In other words, what we're worried about here is that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and the baby is considered a nefel because it died within its first 30 days, and therefore she needs chalitza because she didn't have a viable baby. However, Eishes Koheni, if she accepted Kiddushin from a Kohen, now a Kohen is not allowed to be married to a Chalutza, so that if we insist on Chalitza, then he, the Kohen, will have to divorce her, is Eina Choletzes. Here we're going to fall back on the ruling of the Chachamim, that a Vlad, unless we have reason to believe otherwise, is considered a viable being. We're not Choshesh that it's a Nefel. Rav Sharvia, Mishmei de Rava Amar, Achas Zu V'Achas Zu Choletzes. Even though she accepted Kiddushin to a Kohen, and now, if we accept the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, and we assume that this baby is not a viable being because it didn't survive the first 30 days of its life, therefore she falls for Yibum, and now as a result, when she gets Chalitza, she'll have to get a divorce from her husband who's a Kohen. Why? Because Rav Sharvia says we have to take Rav Shimon Gamliel from A to Z. You know, we can't play games over here and say, well, you know what, we'll paskin like the Chachamim, you know, in a case where she got married to a Kohen, and fall back on that Shita, because we paskin in this case, and that's what we saw in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Shmuel, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that unless the baby survives its first 30 days, we have an assumption it's a Nefel, and therefore she needs Chalitza Yibum. Omalei Ravina l'Rav Sharvia. You know what? It's actually true, because again, this story of Ravina was in the name of Rav. And the truth is, Rav Sharvia, you're actually right. What do I mean you're right? Biurta Omar Rav Yehachi. At night, Rav paskind that she doesn't need chalitza. And even in the case, and despite the fact that she's married to a Kohen, that marriage is a viable marriage. But Litzafra, when he woke up the next morning, and apparently during the course of the nighttime, he thought it over, and it bothered his mind, is Hadarbe. He changed his mind. And he paskined that, wait just one second, I just got to get, what was his original psak and what was his change? Wait a minute. Omar Avina Mishmei de Rava, im Eishes Yisrael hi choletzes, im Eishes Kohen, im Eishes Kohen, ena choletzes. So according to the original version of Ravina in the name of Rava, if it's an Ashes Kohen, is Enacholetzis. And Rav Sharvia had a different transmission of the statement of Rava. So we have now Machlokshin Ravina and Rav Sharvia, as to what exactly was Rava's position. According to Rav Sharvia, Rava's position was that she needs a chalitza because of Rav Shimon Gamliel, even though she accepted Kedushin to a Kohen. So now Ravina turns to Rav Sharvia and he says, you know what, you're right. What I said was Rava's original position. And his original position was, one second, again, I just have to get this mathematics right, that the original, so again, according to Ravina, the name of Rava, is if she's an Ashes Kohen, she does not need Chalitza. Oh, I'm sorry. Ravina was presenting Rava's final position. Now, that's where I messed up. And what Ravina is now telling Rav Sharvia is your quote of Rava was Rava's original position at night. And he thought that she doesn't need chalitza. Just one second. Achazu v'achazu chaletzis. I'm sorry, she needs chalitza, even if it means we're going to have to break up the marriage to the Kohen. And that in fact, the way you, Rav Sharvia, quote Rava was Rava's original position. But Litzafra, the reason why I quoted Rava is saying that in the case of Ashes Kohen, she does not need chalitza. That was Rava's final position. Okay, now I got the mathematics. Amale, so Rav Sharvia says to Ravina, this is really not acceptable. That Rava, in his final position, the way you present it, would exempt her from Chalitza in a case where she accepted Kiddushin from a Kohen. And why are you exempting her from Chalitza? Because you're assuming that the baby was viable, like the Chachamim of Rav Shimon Gamliel. He says Shri Rusa you are being matir a kohen to marry a woman who needs chalitza. And you're basing yourself on the Rabbanan Shita that she doesn't need chalitza because the child is viable. But we passing like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and that means that we assume if the child didn't live till the 30th day that it is an Nafel. It was not a viable being. And at this point, Rav Sharvia, it seems, is very, very, if I could use the word, frustrated. And he adds, again, I don't know, I don't want to call it a klala, a curse, but take a look at the next four words. He says, Yei Rava de Tishru Tarba. Now, Tarba is Chelev. Chelev is a part of an animal which, if you eat it, you chayv kares. And it's very similar to Shuman, which are fats of the animal that you're allowed to eat. And the words Yehi Rava means Yehi Ratzon, may it be his will, like we say in Be'ah Norochitz, if you're familiar. And it should be his will that you'll be Mater Chelev. I mean, just like you're allowing a Kohen to marry a woman who's a Chalutza, let it be true that God will see to it that you'll be Mater Chelev. It's his way of conveying a message that, heaven forbid, that Rava could have said such a thing. Meaning that you, Rav Sharvia, you Ravina, have a transmission of the name of Rava, that this Ashes Kohen doesn't get Chalitza, and she can remain married to the Kohen. That's terrible. Because according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, she needs Chalitza desperately, because the child was not a viable child. We pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So there's a note here in the Hebrew version of Masifta, and he's also bothered by this Gemara. Ma kavanas Rav Sharvia when he says he rots on ma mokom yeshlis palel, that he's davening that Rav Masharia will be matir in Isu Torah, he'll allow you to eat chelev. So he quotes a sefer called Matzah Chen, who says the following. That what Rav Sharvia was saying to Ravina is, Atemi tartem yevama lekohen, you allow this woman who needs chalitza to marry a kohen, ubnei adam somchim al haroschem, sharei atem gedolei ador, people are going to look at you and they're going to accept your ruling because you're the great gedolim. They don't realize that you made a big, big error. So I'm going to daven to Hashem that you're going to be matir chelev. And what's going to happen is that people are going to realize this is a bad mistake. This is chelev. It's not shuman. V'yavinu, and they'll come to the conclusion, kishem, just like ein lismoch al ha-ra'aschem. We see that in the case of chelev, we can't rely on your ruling. Is kach also ein lismoch al hora aschem being in het to yevam lekoin below chalitza? It's a difficult piece here. Okay, we go on. The Mishnah quoted the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that the androgynous, who has, as we said before, the simonim of both Nakfus and Zachrus, according to Rabbi Yehuda, since he has male genitals, therefore on the eighth day, he is subject to circumcision, even though it's Shabbos. Omar Rav Shizbi, Omar Rav Chizda, lo lekol Omar, Rabbi Yehuda, the androgynous Zachar, who I'm going to prove to you, that this halacha, that androgynous needs mila because of his zachrus, his male organs, that's a special halacha in mila. But don't universalize this halacha and apply it elsewhere. Shema ta omer kein, if you can assume that Rabbi Yehuda always defines an androgynous, as a zachar, is then be'arachin ye'arech. The law with regard to erachin is that at the end of Sefer Vayikra, it says that if a person takes a vow, erchi olai, And we have all sorts of ways of evaluating his erech. You know, it's how much he's worth in the market, and that's what he has to give to Hegdish. If he says Erech Olai, Erech Shalploni Olai, then we evaluate him. And there are different figures of evaluation for a male and a female and so forth and so on. And if you're going to tell me that Androgynous is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a male, then in Erechin, there's going to be a loch of Erech Olai. If he says about himself, if he's an Androgynous, that I will pay the Erech of a Zachar. He'll have to pay the Erech of a Zachar to Hegdish, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says that's not true. Uminol, and how do I know Delomi Arech? That we do not impose a Chiyuv Erechin if a person says Erech Olai and he's an Androgynous. The Sanya we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa is darshaning a pasuk at the end of Sefer Vayikra. It says Vahoya Erkecha Hazachar, and there's an extra hey in the word Hazachar, and that's a mute. Only Hazachar, Velo Tumtum, the androgynous. A Tumtum is a baby that's born with a membrane that covers its genital area, so we don't know whether it's a male or a female. And an androgynous has both genitals of a male and a female. Is yachol shelo yehi be'erech ish, aval yehi be'erech isha. You might think that, look, we can't force him to pay a higher erech, but let him pay the erech as a female. I mean, that's for sure. If he's not a male, he's certainly a female. Talmud Lomar, the Torah says ha-zochar, which means it's got to be ha-zochar, and we know it to be a zochar. And then it says v'im nekevahi. The end of the pasuk is v'im nekevahi, and the extra word v'im is telling me that zochar vadai nekevah vadois v'lo tumtum vajoginus. Meaning that a person who's in a suffix, like these two categories of tumtum and androgynous, is completely excluded from the whole pasuk of erechin. You know, it's not enough that we say, well, mimonafshach, it's either a male or a female. Let's take the lower price, at least. No, there's going to be no erechin at all, because the Torah requires vadai velo suffix. And here we turn to Kuf Lamed Zayin. Ustam Sifra, Rabbi Yehuda. This Braisa that we just quoted is a Sifra, and unless we know otherwise, we always assume the Sifra was authored by and reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So we see clearly that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Androgynous is not considered Zochar Vadai, and therefore we come to the conclusion that Rabbi Yehuda's position here is a specific position in Mila, that we consider the Androgynous a male as far as the Chiyuv Mila to override the Shabbos on the eighth day because it has Zachrus, it has the Simonim of a Zachar. Omer Rav Nachbar Yitzchak, Afanan Nami Tnin, I want to support your approach from the Mishnah in Parah, Masechta Parah in the fifth parag. Hakol Ksherim Lekadesh Mechatos, Ayde Nesinas Efer Parah Adum Vahem Chutz Michere Shota Vekatan, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir Vekatan Uposel Veisha Ve Androgynous. In other words, the Torah says that for the preparation of the mechatos, where we create a concoction by adding the ashes of the paraduma that was burned together with mechatos, with mayim chayim, it's a zachar. We need a male who can implement this process. And Rabbi Yehuda, although he says that a katan is kosher for the Kiddush, to be Mekadish the Mechatos, but an Androgynous is excluded. And why is an Androgynous excluded? We just saw that Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Androgynous who's born 8 days later will circumcise him even on Shabbos, which indicates that he's a Zachar. And the answer is no. Rabbi Yehuda only meant that he's a Zachar as far as Mila is concerned. Who might know why is Mila different? Mishum dechsiv. We have an extra word in the pasuk in Mila. It says himolachem kol zachar, and the word kol is coming to include even an androgynous. So, to make a long story short, Rabbi Yehuda's position defining androgynous as a male is unique and limited only to the mitzvah of Mila, But as far as other dinim are concerned, we saw two examples. Number one, Erchin, and number two, Kiddush of Mechatos, his status is a questionable status, and we cannot consider him as a male. So this leads us to the Mishnah here on Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, which Amir Tz Hashem, Blineder, will pick up tomorrow.